This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Creation.
Curiosity.
The next idea.
We weren't setting out to do these huge things. We were just starting with solving a problem we hoped a few other people had.
Michigan's philanthropic organizations are facing a changing climate of giving. The movement of money within the nation's wealthiest families, low wages for many of today's young people, political polarization, and the erosion of government safety nets. All of these have an impact on how people give and how charities organize themselves. Today's contributor to The Next Idea has been watching these trends and others that affect charitable giving. Kyle Caldwell is the executive director of the Dorothy A. Johnson Center for Philanthropy at Grand Valley State University. Kyle, welcome to The Next Idea.
Thank you.
You recently released a white paper that explores important trends affecting philanthropy. And one trend that really jumped out is that the wealthiest people in America are passing along, what, some $59 trillion between the generations between 2007 until 2061. What do you think that'll mean for philanthropy?
Well, it's going to really change the way philanthropy thinks about its work. First, this transfer in terms of the dollars is one of the more massive transfers we've ever seen. We're already seeing an increase in the number of foundations, an increase in the way foundations are organized, or not only private foundations, community foundations, family foundations forming, but we're also seeing, as we've seen with the Chan Zuckerberg couple, them creating a philanthropic vehicle that's for profit. And so I think the transfer itself, in terms of the dollars and the mechanisms, are going to be different. The second is that the generation that currently holds this wealth is passing it on to a generation that thinks about philanthropy, social change, deeds for good in a very different way. They want to do well while doing good, and they conflate their work life with their philanthropic life. They don't think it's a matter of earning it and then giving it away. They want to do it simultaneously. We're seeing that this generation is less into investing in institutions and more in direct causes. They want to be hands-on. They want to be involved with the change that they want to see driven through their wealth. So not only is the money and the mechanisms changing, but the way this generation and the generations to come think about philanthropy is going to be very different. And I think you'll see changes in the nonprofit sector, changes in the philanthropic sector that will obviously align with those changes.
So as the wealthiest people in America are passing along these trillions to their grown children, on the other end of the wealth spectrum, we have a lot of young people today who do not have as much disposable income as mom and dad did. So how do philanthropic organizations compensate for that?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the two ends of this opportunity and challenge is that with this great wealth, there is also this great wealth disparity. There is this increasing gap between those that have and those that have not. And I think what's going to change here is the resources that are being channeled through the philanthropic sector are going to be pressured to deal with that income inequality, that the equity gap. There's education opportunities that this generation is wrestling with, affordability of education, and especially as the expectations of higher education grow, a master's degree seems to be, you know, the lever to greater success. It's not just a bachelor's degree or not just a high school diploma. I think philanthropy is going to be pressured to figure that out. I think there's going to be an increased pressure in figuring out the social compact, that agreement between government and philanthropy that says that there are some things that government can do well, there's some things that the nonprofit sector can do well, and the partnership that needs to be formed in order to provide critical services to communities is, I think, going to increase pressure on philanthropy as the budget gets readjusted, as we look at a new administration that's really interested in trimming back public funding. I think the third thing that we're going to see is an increased awareness of this disparity. I think there's been a feeling in our country, and certainly, you know, even globally, that we all can contribute, and that is true. Through our time, our talent, and our treasure, we all can contribute in some way. But I think what we're seeing is the stark difference between those who can contribute more and those who have to make hard choices about whether or not they fortify themselves or they give to others. So as we look at the income disparities, I think those pressures are going to come to bear, and it's going to affect both how the nonprofit sector and government think about their roles.
I'm talking with Kyle Caldwell, who's the executive director of the Dorothy A. Johnson Center for Philanthropy at Grand Valley State University, as we look at philanthropy in the future. And you've kind of touched on, as government adjusts its priorities, where the philanthropic community could step in. And my goodness, we certainly have seen that in a lot of headlines where foundations have come in. For example, in the Flint water situation, certainly Detroit's Grand Bargain would not have ever come together without foundation dollars. Is the nonprofit world becoming society's safety net?
I think it's always been a safety net. I think what we're seeing now is a conflation between the role that philanthropy can play to be a incubator and support mechanism for communities and the role that government has traditionally taken on. So when we look at the Detroit bankruptcy, that, as you pointed out, resolution to the bankruptcy, the largest single municipal bankruptcy in the country, resolved in record time. And it was only because the Detroit Institute of Arts and some of the other nonprofit assets related to that got thrown on the table, so that philanthropy and the nonprofit sector was forced to be in that conversation in a way that was problem solving. And now you have a nonprofit that is actually paying pensioners, so taking on literally a public sector role. I think when we look at the Flint water crisis, the first dollars in were from private foundations and the local community foundation to really ameliorate some of the effects of lead and really thinking about the health conditions of children and their future and the education opportunities that they'll have. But the state then came in, both in state and federal dollars, to help support the recovery efforts. So philanthropy being the first one in, as a first responder, is a new role. I think we can also look at other opportunities that philanthropy has played in helping government. When we think about the Kalamazoo Promise, you know, here you have five anonymous donors throwing money in the pool to help provide universal higher education access for Kalamazoo graduates to any Michigan public or private higher ed institution. In addition, we're seeing it sort of the second wave of that, with this large contribution of funding to the city to help stabilize the tax base.
Yes, that's striking, with a $70.3 million donation that was driven by lead donors William Parfitt and William Johnston, and now trying to stabilize the city's finances, but they're also starting a capital campaign to get more money for the city's budget.
Absolutely. I think the last goal I saw was nearly $500 million. And it's also not only to provide stabilization to the tax base, the property tax base, but also to provide some skunk work dollars to think about new innovations in the city in the future. So here you have private contributions going to stabilize the tax base, as well as provide some of the venture capital that the city will need to think about new ideas and grow.
But is this sustainable and realistic?
I think these are really exciting times to view the role. I think what we're all seeing here is sort of the wild, wild west. And there aren't a lot of ground rules for how both philanthropy and government will stand in this role. And there certainly aren't bright lines between where philanthropy will stop and government expectations will go forward. So I think we do run the risk of scale being an issue. So one of the things that I always talk about is, if you look at Michigan, it has a strong and robust philanthropic sector. We have some of the largest private foundations in the world housed in our state. And if you took all of their assets, not just what they pay out in grants and the interest dividends, but all of their assets and all of the assets of all the community foundations, which cover the entire state, every community has access to a community foundation, and you throw in the family foundations and the corporate foundations, put it in a pool, and you hand it over to the state of Michigan and say, run state government with no other public funding but our own contributions, that money would be gone in 6 months.
Wow.
So you cannot scale on the backs of philanthropy. What you can do is use philanthropy to think about ways of incubating new ideas, but the scaling and the sustainability will have to come from other forces, whether it's market forces in the for-profit sector or government.
Kyle, I don't need to tell you, we are all very aware of the fact that our nation right now is extremely polarized. So I'm wondering, in this environment, what advice would you give Michigan's nonprofits going forward? How can they be successful in this state, in this country, in this time in history?
The nonprofit sector, especially 501c3 charities, have a unique skill set and a unique asset, and that is that they are by law required to be nonpartisan. So they are the perfect player to bring diverse voices together to find common cause to community solutions. And they cannot take a bias because they will lose their nonprofit status. So they can stand in some of these polarized situations. When we talk about education reform, when we talk about public safety issues, and we talk about economic development, the nonprofit organizations are on the ground. They are doing the work. So they can bring together government and bring together business and bring together local citizens and say, what are the challenges that we see and what are the ways that we can engage? C3 organizations are also perfect foils for not only the conversations, but the ways that we can identify new and innovative ways for community problem solving. So when a community comes together and they say, these are the things that we need to do, nonprofits are often well-placed to actually be the delivery system for some of those solutions. But what they need is strong partnerships from government. They need strong partnerships with business in order to make that happen. So I think they can play a very fundamental bridging role in these polarized conditions that we're dealing with. The second thing that I say that is really important for the nonprofit sector is to really understand their voice. I think we talked about it earlier that there is going to be a large shift in public funding, either by moving money to block granting to states and local communities or making reductions in overall spending. Those pressures then are going to come down to the community in a way that we haven't seen in quite some time, where local communities who are not actually doing all that well right now as far as the shift in the tax base as it looks in Michigan already, to see a further shift, they're going to need to rely on nonprofits. And nonprofits are going to have to really use their voice to say, these are the consequences for these spending priorities. Here's how we can help, but here are the places where investment is needed. And they can use that voice because they are able to talk about policy and they are able to talk about some of the ramifications without being seen as partisan.
Opportunities and challenges for Michigan's philanthropic organizations looking into the future. Kyle Caldwell is executive director of the Dorothy A. Johnson Center for Philanthropy at Grand Valley State University. Kyle, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your ideas on The Next Idea.
Thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.